What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Falling Theology's Daily Devo with Trust in Jesus Ministries, and we are in Genesis. We have actually moved on a second from Joseph, and we have entered into a Judah saga for this chapter, and then we'll return to Joseph. Why this is here? Not sure, man, but it is, and so we're going to read it, and we're going to see what Scripture says and how we could apply it to our lives. So if you haven't checked it out, check out Genesis chapter 38, 1 through 11. Stop the tape. Read it if you haven't. If you have read it, we're going to jump on into it, talk a little bit about it, and see what God has in store for us, man. So the first question is, what is actually going on? So what's happening in the narrative? Well, we've got a little aside. We've got a story of Judah and what's going on. The connections could be, I've read a couple of commentaries on this to see why it kind of just went to this instead of continuing on the story of Joseph, because the story of Joseph actually picks up where the chapter 37 left off. So 39 picks up where 37 left off. So it's not like a in-between thing, but it's more probably of along the side of or while it happened. Because whenever we get into Joseph and we stay in him, and then the next time we see Judah, he's going to be a little bit older, kids and all that stuff. And so it would have looked, I guess, maybe it would have looked weird to go back in time and then discuss what was happening for Judah during the time of Joseph in his exile. But they do have some kind of matchups, because while Judah and Joseph are main characters in the story arc of this, it shows both of them leaving the place of residence where they were, where their father and their brothers are. So Joseph, obviously, by force, and then Judah by choice. And they both get married, and they both marry women who are outside of the Israelite, like, tribe people. And they marry. He marries a Canaanite, and then Joseph marries a Egyptian, and then we see some other ties as well. With the next story, spoiler alert, is going to be on the trying to, and actually maybe a spoiler alert on what we're trying to do, because I'm not going to get to that yet. But so it's going to be like some. There's going to be stories that line up and things that happen that correlate together. And so maybe that's why the author of Genesis put that in there, because it lined up and matched literally, like it lined up according to a way in which someone writes. So not sure. But anyway, man, let's just jump on past that. That was super boring, probably, for some of you. Interesting if it was for you guys, man. Put questions in the comments. We could talk a little bit more about it discuss and see why it's there. But anyway, what is actually happening, which is the first question, which I was supposed to get on, is that Judah goes down and he, like, connects with this guy, an Adullamite, you know, just right down the road. And then after he connects with this cat, he meets his daughter, and he marries her, and he has three kids. And then after he has these three kids, the first one was evil in the sight of the Lord. And so it said that God just took his life. That God took him off the earth. He was evil. I don't know what kind of evil it was, man, but God is still in the business of stopping evil. So he did at that time. He took that brother off the earth. And so because that happens, there's a thing called levirate marriage. And levirate marriage is whenever the brother of the deceased goes and marries his wife, the deceased's wife, and raises children, has children for him in his name, so that he can have establish a family for him. And then that firstborn, that child, is the child of the deceased, and the child of the deceased gets the inheritance. And so Judah tells, so this is very complex here. We're about to see a lot of shady deals going on. But Judah tells his secondborn to go into his brother's wife to have a child for him so that he can raise up a child. All right. And Onan don't want to do that. But Judah doesn't really give the full thing. He doesn't say marry like it's supposed to be, which we find later on in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that's the course of the action that's supposed to be taken when these things happen. And we also see that in Ruth bearing out in full nature with David being coming from her loins, the king. But that doesn't happen here. So Judah may only be looking out for himself or his son, technically, and not for the wife, which he is supposed to. That is supposed to be a part of the deal because of the plight of women in those days. And so he is supposed to have his second son-in-law not only just make a child with her, but also to take care of her and keep her and protect her. But he don't mention those things. But then we also have Onai, who says that he don't really want to do it. Or in his mind, that's what the author lets us in on, a secret, that Onai doesn't want to do these things because of, could be, I'm speculating, but it was because also if the brother dies and there produces no heir, then Onai gets the rest of his inheritance. And so Onai may want the inheritance. And so that's why he really ain't trying to produce an heir for his brother, because then he would have to split that with him. And so what Onai does is he acts like he's going to do the job. And so that's a problem, too. So first off, his motives. Second off, he going to act like he's doing the job. It says when he spilled his seed on the ground. And so now he's faking it. But then secondly, is that this is not like a one-time occurrence, okay? This isn't something that he just did one time and said my duty was over, but it was continual. In the Hebrew, I was reading, and it's using an imperfect that that represents or shows a continuing action that happens with when one's doing something, a continued action. I think it's the use of im. And that word, now I can't find it. I wish I had it pulled up on the screen. But even then, he's doing this continually. It's not no one-time thing. And so now, not only is he shirking his duty, but he's actually taking advantage of this woman as he continues to have intercourse with her for what seems to be for her the purpose of having a child, and she's not getting pregnant. But for him, it's only for pleasure. You see? And so Onai, man, he is starting to do some dirty deeds. And so guess what happens? The Lord does not like this. He says, man, this is an evil thing, the deeds that he's doing. And so the Lord kills him. Now, after Onai dies, we see he has three children, Sarah, Onai, and Shayla. And so when it's time for Shayla to go to Tamar, who was the wife of Sarah, he ain't going to give him to her because he's worried. He's scared. I mean, he probably thinks that Tamar's got some kind of hex on him, man. You know what I'm saying? Somebody put some kind of spell on her, some kind of thing, because everybody that comes in contact with her winds up dead. And he doesn't want his third son wind up dead, because then he gonna end up like what's happening to his firstborn in the first place, Sarah, or heir. And so he's kind of worried about the situation. And so now Judah makes up a scheme and says, go back to your father as a widow. And then whenever my youngest grows up and is fit for doing the deed he's supposed to do, I'll send him to you, or I'll send for you, and then you will have a child from him. So all of this craziness is happening, man, and everybody is doing something crazy in it, except for Tamar right now, who is just trying to just do her duty, man. Just trying to be who she is. So what is this scripture saying about God? There's more going on. I know that was an abrupt stop, cliffhanger, because she goes back to the house of her father, and she's there now. And what's going to happen? What's going to take place? Cliffhanger, huh? Well, what's this particular scripture say about God? Well, what it's saying is that God does not play with sin, man. God is holy and wrathful. He does not play with sin. Sometimes we forget that because we want to push Jesus into this category of only love. But if you even take a picture of the life of Jesus, is that when he died on the cross, the wrath of God was poured out. But not only that, if you finish the book, you'll see that Jesus comes back and his robe is dipped in blood, drenched up to his, I believe it's his thigh. That's a lot of blood, guys, because that's what God is going to do to those who are his enemies, those who do not bend to the knee of his will. And so that is a picture of his wrath against sin. Now, that seems bad and it seems tough and it seems difficult to comprehend that this God of love who would give his life would also have his blood dipped that deep into the blood of those who are against him. It seems odd, but it's not. It's because sin needs to be dealt with. It needs to be paid for. If you look at people and you see, we had stories in this thing where we're angry with our fist clenched and we want to see justice served. We want to see people get their due. And that's what Jesus does. That's what God does. He does not play. He is holy and wrathful. What do we see about man in this story? Well, have character. I think that is a big thing. Is do the right thing when no one is looking. Man, that's the problem. That's what happened to Onan, the second born. He thought people wasn't going to know. But God is watching. God is seeing. God knows. And so when you do the right thing, even when no one is watching, that's what I call character, at least a small bit of it. Well, God is watching. So how do we apply these truths to our lives, man? Well, first off, I think we recognize God as holy and we see him for who he is. I think that's so important. Just see him for who he is and then do the right thing. I haven't seen that Spike Lee movie, man. Tell me if I should watch it or not, but do the right thing. What's the next thing that's going on in your life that you see that you have to do, even though, you know, ain't nobody gonna find out? You need to do the right thing. Hey, I appreciate you guys for listening. May God bless you and may his Holy Spirit move you as he strengthens you to accomplish the goal that he has called you to accomplish. I pray that he would walk with you, that he would hold you, that he would guide you, and that he would be with you in these things so that you can be strengthened to do what he says do, to be who he says be, and to live how he says to live. Amen, my brothers and sisters, and I'll see you in the next episode.